When I was in fourth grade, my Aunt Karen gave me a copy of A Wind in the Door for my birthday. A Wind in the Door is a sequel to A Wrinkle in Time, which I hadn't read, but that didn't stop me from devouring A Wind in the Door over and over again that summer. If you haven't read either A Wrinkle in Time or A Wind in the Door, what you need to know is that they're part of a larger group of works called The Time Quintet by Madeleine L'Engle. Imagine if the Chronicles of Narnia were written for our own world in a glorious mashup of science fiction, theology, and fantasy. And like the Chronicles of Narnia, the Time Quintet was written by a faithful Anglican. Madeleine L'Engle attended the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City for decades, and she incorporated her real faith into her works of fiction. In A Wind in the Door, Meg Murray, the awkward high school-aged heroine of the series, is sent on a mission with her friend Calvin, her high school principal, whom she hates, a supernatural being described as a singular cherubim, who is a ball of feathers and eyes and flames, and an adolescent microscopic organism. Together, they must travel into one of the mitochondria in one of the cells of Meg's brother's Charles Wallace to fight against a disease that is slowly sapping his energy and, if left unchecked, will kill him. The group faces many dangers, including the supernatural beings called Xthroi, whose mission is annihilating creation, being by being. In L'Engle's Time Quintet, time is relative, but size and space even more so. Stars and galaxies are of equal importance to the mitochondria found in our cells. The loss of a cell, or a human, or an angel, or a star, is equally devastating a blow in the struggle against the Xthroi. In L'Engle's world, size is irrelevant. What matters is whether or not you are, and whether or not you will join in the song of creation. In Isaiah, tucked into a prophecy about the future suffering servant, the Savior of Israel, we get a little sidebar that I just can't shake. In this aside, God takes a moment to describe God. And this is what God says about God's self. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to walk in it. God describes God creating the heavens, the millions and billions of stars in the sky, the Pleiades and the Orion, the great spot of Jupiter, the moon. And then God describes God creating the earth, the wind and the wave, the Alps, the steppes, the redwoods, the Great Barrier Reef, Big Bend. And then God describes creating you, giving you breath. God made the rings of Saturn and your breath. How is that possible? How is that the same God who saw fit to create the vast expanses of interstellar space also see fit to create us? We with our fingers and toes and noses and hair growing in the wrong places and these weird bodies generally, but God made us just as God made pulsars and volcanoes and grizzly bears. Despite our own self-consciousness, with the psalmist we can say, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It takes your God-given breath away. But by taking our rightful place in creation, we are also responsible for each other, for the world, in a way that can be paralyzing if we let ourselves be overwhelmed. If size is immaterial, if someday we will sing with the planets in the song of all creation, we have much work to do. That means that no one can say, I'm too small, or what I do doesn't matter. Because it does. When size is immaterial, small acts of love are no longer small. All that's left is love. When size is immaterial, we are all in this together, us and the blue whales and the bees and bacteria struggling for good, for the work of God to be made manifest in this world, for creation to be made whole. Which brings us to the last piece of God's description of God's self. The God who created the heavens and the earth and gives breath to the people upon it, also gives the people the spirit to walk in it. That which animates you, which brings you to life and makes you whole, that which enables you to love and to rejoice and to find peace, that too is from God. And that spirit that lives in you, placed there by God, that very same spirit will help you walk the path of love. That path is not easy. Loving never is. But just as the planets have their courses, so you too have your own course in life, flying through space and time, being called to do the work of love. So choose to join in the singing with the music of the spheres. You have been created to do so. Amen.